This is Dr. Jason Remenick, CEO and founder of Thalamus, and you're listening to Thalamus Grand Rounds, the premier podcast built by graduate medical education for graduate medical education. Whether a program coordinator, program director, GME administrator, DIO, or applicant, join me and my guests as we discuss hot topics in innovation in the residency and fellowship recruitment process. I'm thrilled to have two wonderful guests with me today to discuss best practices for virtual interviews, something which will be very important for everyone in GME recruitment this year, as well as last year, and certainly almost for the years to come. With me is Carrie McDonald, an MBA, who's the residency program manager at East Carolina University, Department of OBGYN. And also with us today is Tim Burns, program administrator for the OBGYN residency program at the University of Vermont Medical Center. Welcome, Carrie and Tim. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Great to have you. And so I'd like to start by letting our listeners know more about each of you. Carrie, let's start with you. Can you tell me a bit about your background in GME?
Sure. So I came to GME 4 years ago from CME, which is continuing medical education, where I did marketing, data analysis, and project management, but was looking for a change. So 4 years ago, I switched over to GME. And have really loved that better than CME. So since I've been here, I've written goals and objectives for our residents. I came up with a gamification system for professionalism that has worked really well for our program, and have just been the mama to the residents.
The important role that's always there. And yeah, for sure. Tim, what about you?
So I started in GME in 1994 while I was going to law school at night. I worked at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston in the internal medicine program. And then 6 years ago, I moved to Quebec and started working at the University of Vermont Medical Center in Burlington in the OBGYN residency program. I'm also involved with the ACGME on the ACGME Advisory Committee for Coordinators, and also on the Awards Committee as well.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. So I think it's both safe to say that you both are really seasoned program administrators and managers and such. So we're really excited to have you to discuss virtual interviews today. You guys are also involved with the leadership of the program managers on OBGYN nationally as well, correct?
That is correct.
Can you talk a little bit about what you do there?
Sure. I am the chair for education, and in that I am working on some professional development stuff for the program managers, and am working with our technology crew to create frequently asked questions, and just some other general education stuff for our program managers across the nation.
I started with them 6 years ago. I was the alternate rep for Region 1, then became the region rep, and now I'm the chair of the planning committee. So what that means is I actually plan the conference for both this summer and the one that's in March.
Oh, very, very cool. Yeah, I think it's really exciting, just as the more everyone learns about GME, is that there are multiple layers to things. And certainly for applicants or other program coordinators and managers, just knowing that these opportunities exist and this is how sort of GME administers itself, I think is super helpful. And certainly a lot has changed over the last several interview seasons. And, you know, last year, everything went virtual for the first time ever. And this year, it looks like it's going to stay that way for the majority of specialties and programs around the country. So knowing what is coming this season and that it will be a virtual interview season for the most part, what are some things you think program coordinators should know? Tim, let's start with you here.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think there are a lot of, there's going to be a lot of benefits to being virtually. I think, you know, we're going to discuss a lot of these over the course of the conversation. I think, you know, there's financial benefits, there's equity. So I think there's a lot of things that we can learn about virtual recruitment that I think is going to be very important. I think it's going to stay for a while.
Very cool. Carrie, anything to add?
I just, the most important thing to me is that it's not scary. I think it was kind of fun and it was cool. And I still felt like I got to know the applicants like I did when they were in person. Just, it was different, But I still felt like the people we matched with last year, even though we had only ever met them from the neck up, I still felt like they were the people that we wanted in our program and that were a good fit with us. So it is still possible to get a really good class, even though everything's virtual.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, I think there was a lot of fear last year because of change and the unknown, certainly as everyone was needing to shift from a very seasoned sort of historical practice of in-person interviews year over year that operated like machines in many places. And then all of a sudden, everyone needed to pivot to something new. I think that caused a lot of uncertainty and certainly, you know, that causes fear amongst a lot of people. And so I know applicants were concerned last year, and I bet there's plenty that continue to be concerned this year. I think programs overall got a lot under their belt last year. And so everyone feels a lot more sort of battle-tested and seasoned to enter this year. But what were some of the benefits you saw to the season being virtual last year and will continue into this year?
I thought one of the best parts of the virtual is that it really is more equitable for students. I have heard stories about students having to take out huge loans to travel around the United States to do these interviews, and they're already so in debt for medical school that an interview season for a job should not cost them that much more money. And so this year they were able to do it from home, and I think it was just a lot more equitable. We also interviewed people that we normally would not have probably brought in because we were able to bring them in virtually and they didn't have to travel as far. So I think that's one of the benefits.
I think another benefit is definitely financial. I think both for the applicants, as Carrie pointed out earlier, and I think also for the programs. I mean, I think the cost of, you know, having feeding them and things like that was really, you know, difficult and financially burdensome. I think it's also going to be beneficial for, you know, medical education, because it's going to allow the medical students to stay and actually learn in their fourth year instead of running around the country.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that from a lot of programs, that there was this real cost saving that existed for the hospitals and certainly for the applicants, in that to have to fly and pay for hotel and travel and other costs was quite burdensome. I know it was burdensome in me when I applied 9 years ago. It's only gotten more burdensome, especially as people are applying to more and more places. So I think it definitely helped there. I think, you know, as you mentioned, similarly, hospitals were spending a lot of money on food and making sure that conference rooms were available and moving faculty various places and having to move their applicants. So that kind of all went away. Of course, I know the criticism that a lot have made is where, you know, can you learn about a program in not being there? What are the best ways to do that? Did you have any best practices there or experiences from the year prior?
You know, I think, you know, a lot of people feel that you can't learn about a program unless you see it. I'm not sure if that's actually true, because when you actually go to an interview, you're there for a very short period of time. You really spend with us, you really spend 1 day on a floor and you get a tour of the hospital. I mean, I think you can do those things by, you know, doing videos, using social media. I think there's also a lot of other ways you can promote your program. You can, you know, we can still have a happy hour. We actually did a happy hour that our applicants seem to enjoy. So, I mean, I think you just need to be creative. And I think this gives us the opportunity. Unfortunately, in medicine, I think things change slowly and people are always, this is the way it's always been done, which doesn't mean it's always the best.
Oh, for sure. And I think, I think one of the things that may have been a benefit from last year was the kind of accelerated medicine's adoption of technology that would have taken us all quite a long time to adopt. Certainly we saw that with everything going virtual and just the ways programs are approaching things. And I think really for the first time ever, programs were thinking about, you know, how do we optimize our social media and how do we get an online presence and how do we get candidates seeing that our program exists and promote our program that way. And I think that was, I think all in all, that's very positive. Obviously, it would have been great if it didn't take a global pandemic to do that. And certainly with everyone working in medical school and on the floors and such through the pandemic, the, you know, that there's been a lot of other strain, obviously, in addition to whatever else COVID has caused. But there is some positives here, I think. And so, you know, what about just aside from just learning the hospital, like, what about just the local area, right? Because these candidates, at least in OBGYN, are going to come for a number of years. If you're applying to neurosurgery, it's, you know, 7 years or so. Where do you see candidates learning about the surrounding areas of your hospitals to get excited about training there as well?
So our GME did a really good job of putting together documents that included things in the surrounding area. I am from a rural part of Eastern North Carolina, and it is hard to attract people to that kind of area unless they are looking for that very specific patient population. And so GME did a really good job of that. I also have a realtor that I use. I used her when we were in person, and I also used her last year, and she put together an amazing video for me of the surrounding area and sent information to the resident or to the applicants about, you know, how, what our housing is like and whether it's better to rent or buy in our part of the state and that kind of stuff. So she was a really good resource for that. We also split, when we did a social hour the night before, we split into small rooms and let the residents talk about their favorite things to do in our area. And we also included last year on our website a little blurb from each resident about their favorite restaurants and their favorite thing about Greenville, so that if somebody's just checking out the website, they see that information as well.
We also did something similar with, you know, our Instagram, our residents' Instagram includes a lot of things that they do outside of the hospital. So you really do get a flavor of what their life is like here. And we also really encourage the applicants to talk to our residents and ask them about the area. We also have there, we have a, you know, Burlington, Vermont has a lot of tourism. So we actually send out a lot of the tourism videos that they've been made about the city and things like that. So.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I heard from a lot of programs last year that the marketing departments were getting involved and making videos about programs, depending on the institution. I know a lot of residents came together to really try and provide applicants the insight into what it's like training and just living in the various cities as well. I heard anecdotes of residents, you know, putting a GoPro on their head and walking around the hospital, or and somehow, you know, cataloging what it's like a day in the life of a resident is there. And I think it's really been great to see GME come together and adapt, as we all always seem to do, to find ways to sort of continue medical education in whatever environment exists. Yeah, similarly, were there any sort of mistakes that you saw come up in the virtual interview season, either from program coordinators or applicants, that they may want to try to avoid as the season approaches here?
No mistakes, because I'd like to call them opportunities for growth instead.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So we actually, our program interviewed our homegrown students first so that they had an opportunity to get one under their belt and see what it was like. And then we were able to give them some specific advice about lighting and about sounds and about outfits and that kind of stuff. But one of the things that I heard the most from the applicants that I talked to was that they did not get to meet the coordinator, manager, administrator, whatever the department calls the person. And that to me is really an opportunity for departments to grow, because it's, I am the person that's going to have the most contact with the applicant after match day and until they arrive. And so it is really important to me to actually get to lay eyes on those people, to talk to them, and for them to do the same for me, so that we already have seen each other and know a little bit about personalities. So if programs didn't do that, I really highly recommend that.
And there's a lot of ways that you can, the coordinator, administrator, manager can be involved. You know, I actually offered all of both, yeah, I did trial runs with all of my faculty. I offered that to all the applicants, and I had quite a few actually take me up on it, you know, which helped them because they were able to test their system with our system, make sure it worked. And we use Thalamus. So, you know, if they had never, if it was one of, especially in the beginning of the season, they knew they were going to use Thalamus a lot because a lot of programs were using it. So it gave them the opportunity to, you know, try a system that they've never tried before. So I think, and it also gave me an opportunity to lay eyes on them and talk to them. And during the interview day, I, you know, met with them a couple of times. I also was part of the virtual happy hour. I ran it for the residents. And, you know, we started off with a nice icebreaker, so we all got to know each other. And, you know, we actually sent out a list of drinks that included maple syrup, because Vermont is the maple syrup capital of America. So, you know, it's a nice little feature, and which a lot of the applicants actually liked. They thought it was a really good touch. And we did both alcoholic and non-alcoholic, so people could try a drink if they wanted to.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, no, I think those are, that's just really great advice overall. And, you know, yeah, let's dive deeper into that a little bit, because I think for medical students who haven't been involved with residency programs for the most part, like a lot of them, I think, don't know what a program coordinator is to start. And certainly Carrie, as you described yourself in the beginning, is kind of like the mama of your program. And similarly, like I'm very close with the program coordinators. I train with it at my programs, and they really are sort of the shoulder that you go to when you in good times and bad, and the person you're dealing with on a lot of different levels, including the program directors as well. But I think for the program coordinators, they really are the heart and souls of programs in many times. So, you know, what advice would you have for candidates in terms of meeting the program coordinators and the program managers? You know, what are you doing on interview days to learn about them, and really just how can they benefit in sort of exploring that relationship and learning about the program as well?
So I always tell residents when they get here that my role really is to be their advocate and their liaison between the GME office and our department. And I am going to fight for them wholeheartedly for anything that needs to be done for them. And that is what I consider to be my most important role within the department. But as far as an applicant goes, on the day of the interview, so we also used Thalamus last year. And because of Thalamus, I was able to schedule myself 10 to 15 minute blocks. They were not part of the formal interview because I did not do an evaluation. But it was just a chance for us to chat. I always ask questions like, what podcast are you listening to? Or what's your favorite ice cream flavor? Let them ask me questions that they either feel like they didn't get answered or that they want to know they don't feel comfortable asking somewhere else. And they'll ask me questions about why the department, I'm trying to think of one that, so we had a resident leave last year. She transferred to a different program. We were fully supportive in her need to go, but it left a hole. And I think the applicants weren't really sure where to ask that question, but I felt like a safe place to ask that question. So I did get asked that quite often. But those are the reasons that I think it's important for the applicants to meet the manager, coordinator, administrator.
And I think if they know, the other thing that I encourage them to do is even after they've seen, you know, their interview day, you know, if they have questions about the program, you know, reach out to me. I think that's really here to help facilitate. Like, you know, I had an applicant who was couples matching, and it so happened they were couples matching in OB and ortho. And I said, great, I actually have a resident who matched 2 years ago in that. Let me reach out to them, hook you up. You can ask them questions. And I think that really is helpful to the applicants, because that way they can really, if they have specific questions, you can help direct them where they want to, you know. And I think one of the other things I do is I ask the applicants before they come, you know, is there any faculty members that you're interested in meeting? Or do you have any special interest in OB? So if they do, I can hook them up with people that have similar interests as well.
Yeah, no, and I think that's all great. And just as a former applicant myself, like I would strongly recommend to the applicants that they get to know the program coordinators or the programs they're strongly considering, because this is going to be your advocate and your ally. And, you know, a funny anecdote just from one of my interview days at the program I ended up matching at, I went through the whole interview day and I was just waiting for a friend who worked on campus to meet them for dinner. So I just stayed in the conference room, just kind of sitting for a few extra minutes and was the last person to leave. And the program manager came in and said, well, the interview day is over. You can feel free to leave whenever you like. I go, yeah, I think I'll just stay here and I'll interview again tomorrow. And she just looked at me and she went, weirdo. And that was just our first bonding experience. And we're very close now. So, you know, who knows what she thought of me that day, but it definitely made an impression one way or another. But we had good conversations throughout that day, so I knew that joke wasn't too far-fetched. But I think it's just really important to develop those relationships.
Well, you know, you become a family. I mean, I'm still in touch with many of my residents. I mean, as I said, I started in 1994, and I actually still am in contact with my first class of residents. So it really, these become lifelong friends that stay with you forever.
Oh, for sure. And of course, residency is very hard and the coordinator is always there and it's helping guide people through it year in and year out. So I think it's a really important piece. Do you feel that in the virtual world, the program coordinators need to do anything different to get across information about their program, be it the quality or the environment or the faculty or otherwise? Did you find yourself doing anything different other than just moving everything virtually?
That's an interesting question. I think you're finding different ways to do it, but you can still achieve the same thing. And I think that's why, you know, there's a whole discussion of whether doing both virtually or hybrid. And, you know, I think going with the hybrid, the problem is going to be equity again. I think there are ways around doing that. I think we would have to change the system a little bit, like maybe have the programs put their match list in first and then give the time for the applicants to go see programs if they want to. That way there's no, you've already put your match list in, you can't hold it against them if they don't. But I don't really think, I mean, I think we still are able to really promote our programs. It's just in a different format.
Yeah, for sure. I think we even saw that in the data just through Thalamus. Like data wise, the season looked very similar. We saw programs inviting more. We saw applicants interviewing at more places on average as a whole. Of course, both I think were because no one had interviewed virtually before. It'll be interesting to see how that sort of plays out this year. But there was buffer built in on both ends. And I think candidates got to interview at more places. As we've discussed through a lot of this, you know, just about everything can be done virtually other than just seeing the hospital and obviously seeing the city and the facilities of where you're going to be and be training. But of course, that could be made up, Tim, as you alluded to, with a hybrid model of some sorts. And if match lists are entered at different times, that does provide the candidate certainly protection to be in a different sort of environment where the stakes aren't as high to really just learn about where they'd like to be. And I think a lot of the organizations nationally are working to come up with innovative ways to allow for that and sort of support people, be it through virtual or if we ever go back to an in-person model or a hybrid of sorts, what that all looks like. And so, yeah, Carrie, any thoughts on the same question?
No, I think that to get your point across virtually, you have to do a little better job of like the way you write and the way you describe so that things are not too long, they're condensed. You have to beef up your social media a little bit just so that you're not posting once a month. You have to post a little more often so people can actually get a feel for the program. But those are really the only things that we did differently.
I agree with you. I think it really just required more of an awareness on everyone's side, which I think both the applicants and the programs really stepped up to last year. And I'm really curious to see what happens this year. And each year we hope that, you know, the process is a little bit less anxious for the candidates, but we know that they're competition and just unknowns and everyone's just trying to figure out where they're going to be the best place to train. But I think really getting information out there like this to the applicants, I think particularly from the program coordinator and manager perspective, is really, really just vital. And I think not always included and helpful to the candidates because it's something they can't get in most places. And so, final question we have here on sort of the agenda is what is the greatest piece of advice overall you'd give coordinators that are early in their careers and starting, particularly people who may have come into GME last year as everything went virtual, or may have just joined us over the last few months? Like, what information would you see there?
You can go, Carrie.
I'm just going to say the piece of information that I always give everybody is it takes you a full year to see everything that gets done. And then it takes you a second year to actually understand what you saw the first year. So really, it's not until year three when you're able to like put it all together and understand and then actually be able to affect any kind of change. Because I was probably in my third year before I finally was able to say, hey, I think we need to make these changes. But that's just because I didn't understand everything up until then. But that's the piece of advice I always give a new person. And the other piece is to find your national committee. So APGO, CREOG, ACOG for us, and reach out to the program coordinators listserv group there, because there will be a lot of seasoned people who are more than happy to walk you through whatever step you're looking for.
And actually, I totally agree, because I think networking is probably one of the most important things. But also, you know, really, really look to your GME office and other coordinators in your institution mm-hmm. as well. You know, we have a really strong GME, especially our manager is who is also a former program administrator. And we actually, one of the things we started at our institution when she came is both a mentoring system. So anytime a new person starts, they're hooked up with a seasoned administrator who can help them and be there for them. So I really do think, you know, what Carrie said is look to your national organizations, look to your institution, and really network, and don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, there's no stupid question. No one expects you to know everything. I mean, there's so many times I reach out to people saying, you know, I've been doing this since 1994. And I'm like, how would you do this? You know, there's always a better way or a different way to do things. So don't hesitate to ask questions.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important and really great. And I think it's also insight for the candidates too, right? We always talk about how small of a world GME is, even though it spans the entire country. Program directors and faculty all know each other, and the same kind of applies for program coordinators. And you never know who knows who just because they're in different parts of the country, because everyone's involved at the national level and on committees and doing research. And similarly, even within the institution, Tim, kind of as you alluded to before, for the couples, like you have relationships with the other residency programs in the institution. So for the couples, like the coordinators can be a real advocate and ally as well. And so, yeah, I think it's great. I think the one thing about GME overall is that there is a big familial component to it, in that we're all sort of going through the same things, very demanding jobs, be it at the program manager, program coordinator level, the resident level, the program director level, but everyone's really working towards the same goal of just growing medical education in the country. So I think it's been really great. I think those were all the serious questions. You know, one I like to ask is, with the pandemic, I've really started taking over a lot of the cooking duties in my house and started to put together some pretty wacky dishes and knowing, you know, new cooking techniques. I made a steak in a cast iron skillet a few weeks ago, and it was the best steak I've ever had in my life. Still can't believe I made it. Almost set the house on fire and filled it up with smoke when using it. So, you know, learn how to use your tools before you start cooking with them. But is there anything you guys have done in the pandemic, be that cooking your favorite dish or something else you picked up for over the last 18 months or so?
You go first, Carrie.
Well, I have developed an obsession for Rothy's shoes. I have bought far too many pairs of those. And I bought a Peloton bike, which has also become an obsession.
It has to become an obsession if you commit to a Peloton bike. So it's great to hear.
All I've seen is the commercials, and they're too intense for me.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get off work today to go get on my Peloton. I love that thing. So there you go.
But I'm not going to be able to top that. But I actually, one of the things that I've gotten into cooking as well. And cooking and baking, it's really funny. My husband's cousin is a chef, and I was watching a documentary series on Canada, and my husband's from Newfoundland, and they were making this Newfoundland molasses raisin bread. And I was like, oh my God, it looks so good. I'm going to have to find a recipe. I was on her Instagram. She just made one yesterday. So I texted her. I'm like, you have to send me the recipe so we can make it this weekend. So it's always fun to come up with new recipes and try them. And I've learned, you know what? You can try it. If it doesn't come out, it's still going to be fun.
Right, for sure. That sounds delicious. Yeah, if you want to ship one of those back into the States, we'd be happy to test it out for you.
I did a lot of cooking prior to the pandemic, and the pandemic made me lazy. So now I order one of those cooking kits that sends you 3 meals a week.
Oh, that's good. That's great, too. Yeah, no, we have a 20-month-old, so the bedtime routine has been my wife puts him to bed and I cook dinner, and then we kind of shut down and turn off. So it's worked out well, but cool. But yeah, well, in any case, this has been super great. We really appreciate all the insight you've given today. So thank you both so much for coming on to our podcast. And I know this is information that program coordinators don't often have access to. So you know, no doubt will be valuable to our listeners. And I think also, as we've alluded to many times, valuable to the applicants, program directors, and really anyone in GME. So really appreciate you taking the time. And we look forward to hearing from you and working from you this season with recruitment as well. So thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you.